The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcast after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, Libertarian candidate for Lieutenant Governor. We've got Bob Savage with me in studio, as always.
Ahoy, mateys.
And we've got a guest who I'm going to introduce here shortly. So just want to give you guys a real quick recap of the last episode. If you missed it, it is up online. Check it out. We talked about New York being ranked last for freedom by Cato. We also talked about the federal government possibly allowing for funding to arm schools. We, of course, brought up another awful law in New York State. And as a bonus, you can check out the Shannon Joy Show podcast. I hosted her show for her on Wednesday. So check out Shannon Joy Show as well if you want to hear a little bit more about what we're talking about for New York with Kevin Wilson. So as I've done with the other episodes, give you guys a little bit more about me so you get to know me. And when you make your decision in November, and then we're going to bring in Tony, who's running for judge in East Rochester. So last time I told you guys a little bit about my teen years and my grandfather, who was a World War II veteran, and his impact on my life. Now I want to tell you guys a little bit about what really pushed me into politics and how I got to where I am today. So
Don't tell me. You did it because you love politics.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's just like, so much fun. Like,
yeah, you know, the swamp. Let me jump right in, right? No, actually, ironically, people think that I just always knew about politics. And many, many times, especially on the campaign trail, people will ask me, well, how did you get here? How did you do this? Did you go to some special politician training camp?
Liar's school.
Something? Yeah. School for liars, you know, something like that. And really, I was never politically active. I wasn't. When I graduated from high school, I started my business. You would think that when I started my business is when I would have become politically active. I wasn't. I didn't become politically active until 2013 when the SAFE Act passed. That was my line in the sand. I truly believed at the time that the government, like, I knew that they were meant to follow the Constitution. I didn't know that they could just trample on it. I didn't know that.
Or blow it up, yeah, or ignore it.
Yeah, just flat out ignore it. You know, the Second Amendment in New York is considered the Second Suggestion. That's what it is.
It's just guidelines, Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah.
Up for interpretation to whomever. So that really kicked me into gear. Like, holy crap, this happened. Like, and so I started by getting involved in voter registration. I myself, that's when I got registered to vote. Up until that point, I wasn't even registered to vote.
What age was this?
Let's see. We're talking 5 years ago. 24. It's 24.
Weren't even registered until 24. So,
yep.
And now you're running for lieutenant governor.
And now I'm running for lieutenant governor. Yep. That's true. And it's because I saw, once my eyes were open, I saw how terribly corrupt things were in our state. Up until that point, I didn't know. So I started pushing voter registration. I knew if I had made it this far, and I wasn't registered to vote, and I didn't understand the importance, others needed to hear that too. So I worked with groups like Scope, New York Revolution, and I went to gun shows all across the state. And I would travel sometimes 3.5-4 hours just one way to go to a gun show to basically tell other shooters, hey, our rights are being trampled on. We need to stop this. We need to get out and vote. And not surprising to me, but surprising to a lot of other gun owners, many were not registered to vote at all. They weren't. They they kind of thought the same thing I did. Along with that, I would educate people on the SAFE Act, because many, many shooters had no idea what the SAFE Act was, thought it didn't impact them, didn't really understand what was going on, or just frankly never heard of it. And the thing that troubles me today is I still meet with people, shooters, hunters, Second Amendment folk, who still don't know what the SAFE Act is. So that was really my initiation into all of this. And that's what got me started. And, you know, it started as a single issue, right? It started as SAFE Act. But then I saw, wow, our taxes are awful. Our regulations are awful. Our laws are awful. They're hurting small businesses. They're hurting our families. And that's what pushed me to last year, actually, running for city council in the city of Rochester.
That's funny how bad laws are. They're kind of like ants. There's never just one.
Yes,
they're so many lurking that you don't know about.
Yeah.
That are already profoundly affecting your life.
Yeah. And it's one of those things when you grow up with this, you don't actually know how bad it is until you start to travel and you start to look around and you go, oh, I've been living with this my whole life. And people are mortified by this. They're like, oh, no, like, you know, you people in New York are such a tragedy. We feel so bad for you. And you don't know why until you become more educated on it. So that's just a little bit about me. That's how I've gotten up until this point here, and really what drove me to get where I am today, I guess. So enough about me. I don't want to talk about myself the whole time. I want to talk a little bit about Tony D'Orazio and his race.
Hi. Thanks for having me today, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bob. Yeah, I'm running for Rochester Town Justice. You said judge before, and I want to educate your listeners. Yep. There's a difference. A judge is a lawyer. A justice doesn't necessarily have to be there. The people at the town level who handle the misdemeanors and violations.
Okay.
So, speeding tickets, parking tickets, petty larcenies, that kind of
thing. So are you a judge?
I'm not a judge.
Okay.
I'm running.
Are you a lawyer?
I'm not that either.
Okay.
I'm an IT guy, frankly.
Okay. All right.
So I didn't need a JD for that one. So
what would East Rochester look like with you as town justice, or when you're meeting with voters? What's something that maybe you guys discuss about things that you want to see improved in East Rochester that kind of differentiate you from the other guy?
I get that question from voters all the time. And it's a tough question as a libertarian to answer, because on one hand, I'm a libertarian, so I believe in less government, more personal responsibility, less laws. On the other hand, I'd be duty bound to uphold the law. So the government under me, the justice court under me, would be a court where we're actually listening to defendants as opposed to stamping out 95%. There is a 95% settle out of court rate. So 95% of all cases are settled before they even come to trial. No one's story is even heard. And in some cases that's right and people want it, but a lot of times the defendant doesn't even understand what they're pleading guilty to. In some courts, they won't allow a defendant to plead guilty during their arraignment, precisely for that reason, and I would intend to conduct my court in the same way. There are some laws that would, and obviously I can't control what my docket looks like, what's coming in front of me, but I would be working with the district attorney to make sure that they knew that some laws weren't necessarily going to be a priority in my court and would be treated with perhaps a more sympathetic eye than they have been in the past. Like, for example, I in addition to Libertarian Party, have been endorsed by the Marijuana Reform Party because I am a supporter of legalization, like you and Larry.
Yep.
Are. Regulate them like hot peppers. You guys like onions. I prefer hot peppers.
I personally enjoy some hot peppers as well, personally. And yeah, absolutely. So we're going to come back here. We're going to talk a little bit about the petitioning process when we come back. and how you get on the ballot, what that looks like if you're a third party versus a major party. So we'll be back very shortly with Tony D'Orazio running for East Rochester Town Justice.
It's Radio Free New York. Help with health insurance? The Greece Regional Chamber provides assistance with health insurance for businesses, nonprofits, families, and individuals throughout our region. We pride ourselves on the personalized service that we provide for our clients. Let us help you find health insurance plans that fit your needs and navigate the paperwork. Greece Chamber Benefit Partners, located at 2402 Westridge Road in Rochester, New York, offers a broad range of medical insurance plans for businesses, nonprofits, individuals, and families throughout the greater Rochester Finger Lakes region, working with insurance companies including Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield, Univera, and MVP Healthcare. We can also help you access insurance plans through the New York State of Health, the official health plan marketplace. Again, you do not need to live or work in Greece to utilize our brokerage services. We serve the greater Rochester Finger Lakes region of New York State. Visit GreeceChamber.org to sign up for one of our free health insurance information sessions or schedule an appointment with one of our licensed brokers. Call 585-227-7272. 585-227-7272.
The Courage Bowl has become a Rochester tradition, and it continues on Saturday, September 29th at 6 p.m. when the Brockport Golden Eagles take their home field against the St. John Fisher Cardinals. This is Gary Mervis, founder of Camp Good Days, inviting you and your family to celebrate our campers' courage and strength at Courage Bowl 14. Tickets are on sale now. Visit our website at campgooddays.org. The Courage Bowl, a Rochester tradition. It's more than just a game.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
We are back with Andrew Hollister, your host.
Hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for joining us. And I've got Tony D'Orazio running for East Rochester Town Justice with us as well. Tony, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So right before the break, I had mentioned that we were going to talk a little bit about petitioning, because petitioning is something that a lot of people don't know about the election process in New York State. People don't know, how do you get on the ballot? What's that look like? So if you are what's considered a major party candidate in New York State, it's based on percentage of population. If you are a third party, it's a little more difficult, and it kind of depends town by town. So City of Rochester, for example, when I ran my election, I ran on multiple lines, one of them being the Reform Line. And Reform Line recognized as one of the major, ironically, major minor parties in New York, if that's not confusing. I needed one signature to get on the ballot. With the Conservative Party, I think it was like 46, Republican Party was 500. To get on as the Libertarian Line, I actually need 1,500 signatures.
1 million signatures.
So a lot of times you'll hear people talk about in the Libertarian Party this idea of ballot access, which is being treated the same as other parties in terms of being able to collect an equal number of or an equal percentage of signatures based on registered voters. And I know Tony has recently gone through this process as well. And Tony's at the point of the process where once you've submitted your petitions, and just so the listeners know what these petitions are, it's basically a form you sign with your name, your address, and your town saying, yes, I'd like another choice on the ballot. I'd like the opportunity to vote for somebody else. And it's not an endorsement. It's not even promising that you're going to vote, just saying, I'm a voter. I'd like a choice. That's what these petitions are. A political tactic that's been built into this system by people who don't want competition, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it. There's a process to challenge, file objections, and try to boot your competition off the ballot so you don't have to run against anybody. Personally, I feel this is just awful, right? In the sense of, if people want choice, they should have a choice. Now, some people will say something along the lines of, well, you know, we have to check to make sure these signatures are valid and that they're actual voters. I don't necessarily have a problem with that piece. The piece I have is the reason they invalidate a lot of signatures is they'll say, oh, you know what, you put the wrong town. You know, you actually maybe your mailing address is Webster, but it's the village of Penfield or something like that. So they eliminate your choice because of that. You put the address of where you live today, but you didn't update your voter record. You lose your choice there too. They take your name off the list. So the process of trying to invalidate petitions, I truly feel as if it's a way for the corrupt system to try to take choice away from voters.
Right.
And Tony's going through that right now.
Yes, I am.
He's wincing as he says this.
It's been a long day. My petition, my independent nominating petition, as they're called, because we're not one of the magic eight parties who have ballot access yet.
We'll fix that. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. We can talk about that later. I had to submit my petition, by August 21st. I actually submitted it on August 20th. At the time of my, submission, the public, any voter in East Rochester had the ability to file a general objection. And then after they filed that objection, they have 6 days to file specific ones. So challenge my pages, challenge my signatures. And I did. I got a general objection on the 21st, and the specific objections were filed on the 24th. This morning, I was at the Board of Elections for a hearing. There were members of the Libertarian Party and of the community there. The objector couldn't come. He had another engagement. I know who the objector is. The objector was Fred Rickey, mayor of East Rochester. He was filing on behalf of his party, I assume. But he is a voter. He can just file on behalf of himself.
He's Republican?
He's a Democrat.
Democrat, okay.
And I think there's a significance here in him filing, as I understand, because he's in the past been allowed to appoint town justice. Is that correct?
So the two justices that are incumbent in the position right now are appointed.
Okay.
Which is why there's two justice openings in this race.
So the election of the justice is a new thing?
No. They were both vacated. One of our justices passed away last year.
Okay.
And the other one left office because of a scandal that he was personally.
Oh, I remember that. Okay.
Yeah. So this guy has potentially an interest in you not being on the ballot because his incumbents were his appointees.
One of the incumbents is a Democrat and was his guy.
Yeah. Okay.
The village board of trustees does the appointment. The other appointee, a Republican, was one of the trustees.
So what's the next move? What's going to happen now?
So now I wait for the commissioners of elections in Monroe County. There's two of them, a Democrat and a Republican, to make their decision. They said they're going to try to make it today, but, you know, holiday weekend and all.
Yeah, sure.
So they have to make me twist a little. So it could go either way. I was close.
So what is the rubric, Andrew, behind all? I mean, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. It seems like these rules are you know, obviously slanted against minority parties, smaller parties. The level of scrutiny is cranked up for anybody who's not already in on the game, if you will.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you ask, because even running for office, there's no guide, right? This is the handbook to run for office. Board of Elections does have some information. It's not written for the common person. So I was fortunate to have somebody who believed that I would be good in office and showed me the ropes. That man is Tony Michike. He's a county legislator in Monroe County. And when I was putting in my bid last time, he was like, kind of took me under his wing and really showed me, how do you do this petitioning and how do you do these other things?
But there's no repository of rules that you can go to where you can
There's Board of Election law, and they publish a guide on their website, but it's really, really hard to read. And counties and towns and stuff is totally different than state office. So it's not like an easy thing to get into. But you'll get dinged, especially as a third party, on little silly things on your petition. Little silly things. They'll do whatever they can. They'll pull out some stops here or there. And then there's just really obscure election law. Like, I found out in my last race that if you get endorsed by two major parties, your third-party lines get combined.
And what's the practical effect of that?
The practical effect is somebody who, and I personally would like to have nonpartisan ballots. I personally think it should be a name, no party association with it whatsoever. Then you can vote for the person and their policy. I know people who run parties are not so interested in that because they want their party promoted. But what happens is the third parties always go to the bottom of the ballot anyways. So now your line might actually be combined with another person who doesn't align with you ideologically at all.
Well, I don't understand that. How does that happen?
That's just, it's an
obscure. I mean, does Cuomo and Nixon get to combine on one line? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's totally unfair. I spoke with one person about once. They're like, oh, it's to save space on the ballot.
Save space?
It's like, you know.
The thing's really electronic now.
Yeah.
They make it any size they want.
Yeah, so it's really, really bad for people emerging, especially third parties, because you might be on the same line as somebody whose beliefs are totally opposite of you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It happened last year.
Yeah, it did happen last year. It did. And the result of that is this. A voter may have actually paid attention, become educated, and actually know they want to vote for you, and they make it all the way down 14, 15 lines on the ballot and go, I'm going to make this choice. I'm going to vote this guy or gal. And then they see the person next to it who you are running against on the same line as you.
Why do I have to vote for both?
Yeah, well, and not only that, but they think, wait a minute, I'm not for anything this other person stood for. Maybe I misheard. Does this person really stand for this?
Well, wait a minute.
And it creates a question in their mind.
If the candidates are on the same line, how does the vote get registered?
So you fill in the dot still. So there's still a dot next to your name, but it's just on the same row.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it creates confusion. I've literally had people that said, yeah, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to vote because the ballot looked weird, or, you know, I didn't know I could fill in certain circles here or there. It's confusing to people, and it really deters them from being able to make a choice.
What comes to mind is John Cleese in Monty Python, The Holy Grail.
First, you must bring me a shrubbery, a nice one.
You know, I mean, it's crazy. It's just, it makes no sense. And obviously, it's to obfuscate the issue of choice. I mean, it could serve no other purpose.
Yeah. So last year, I actually went down to Leadership Institute, which is a nonprofit organization that will kind of like guide you. They have classes like on running for office. And being that it was my first time, I was like, yeah, I want to learn about this. So I went down there and they basically poke fun at New York, like throughout a lot of their classes. One of the classes was like ballot access.
Where is this held?
And in DC.
Okay.
And they were like, yeah, New York State is so archaic and so back in the times. They still have this petitioning like process. And they literally said how it's like super corrupt, how it like has negative impact and negative implications. But it's New York State, and the majority of the companies not like that anymore, so they focus mostly on the rest of the country. And it just goes to show that New York State, in so many ways, really makes it hard for people to have choice. It makes it hard for them to get involved. And there's just always somebody making the rules and moving that goalpost.
So. And how about that spectacle with with Cuomo and Cynthia Nixon this week?
If that doesn't send
a great big, you know, a great big warning signal to everybody about how crazy the system is. And I mean, there you have the choice between two loons, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. And I tell you what, and I don't even know why I thought this, but literally as I'm watching this debate, there were some takeaways from it that are actually valid. The one takeaway I had, though, was how much of a career politician Cuomo truly is. I mean, you look at how he poses and smiles. How long has he been practicing to do just that? I mean, if you look at his body language and everything, you're like, man, this guy's been training forever for this.
He didn't learn it very well, though, because I have to say, I had contact in news coverage with his dad. Mm-hmm. His dad had a certain raffish kind of charm to him. I mean, you could actually like Mario Cuomo. Yeah. He was an engaging guy, and you had to stop yourself. You had to go, wait a minute, this guy's Mario Cuomo. But he definitely had some charm, which the son decidedly lacks.
Yes, yes.
He's just angry, you know, control freak.
And I've heard the same from many, many Mario Cuomo supporters. They say, Andy is not his father, and we're not voting for him. They say that constantly.
I think Chris got the charm in that family.
Yeah. Skipped a generation.
All right. There's more to come on Radio Free New York. Thanks for joining us on WYSL.
The voice of Liberty. WYSL. You're listening to WYSL 1040.com, 92.1 FM, and 1040 AM WYSL Avon Rochester.
Brand new for you and your dog at Avon Feed and Supply. Tim Cole and his team are proud to introduce Victor's Super Premium Dog Foods. Top quality with several varieties to choose from. Victor Dog Foods offer scientifically advanced nutrition, promoting great digestive and immune system health for the dog in your life. Choose from beef, chicken, or salmon and ocean fish-based foods, plus grain-free active dog and puppy food. Victor's Super Premium Dog Foods incorporate strong meat-based proteins instead of inferior plant proteins. Organic minerals and vitamins, including Zinpro, never synthetic. And some brands include added glucosamine to help those hindquarters. Joint health promoting Victor Dog Foods are 5-star rated in Dog Food Advisor. Great nutrition is their passion. Get more info at victorpetfood.com and choose your dog's new food today at Avon Feed and Supply. West Main at the bottom of the hill, just west of the circle, Avon Feed and Supply.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello?
Honey, we need help. A pipe burst and the basement is flooding.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Burst pipe. Water all over the basement. What am I gonna do, brother?
Call Taylor. 500 Help. Their plumbing experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500 Help? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor. 500 Help.
Visit the largest living history museum in New York State. Spend the perfect day at Genesee Country Village and Museum. Explore the historic village as costumed interpreters bring stories to life. Visit the blacksmith, the potter, the tinsmith, and tour the working brewery. Churn butter in our kitchens and see the baby animals on the farm. Genesee Country Village and Museum is open Tuesday through Sunday, just 20 miles from downtown Rochester. Visit gcv.org.
You're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations.
Once again, your host with the most, here's Andrew Hollister.
Hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for joining us. I am in studio here with Bob Savage and Tony D'Orazio running for East Rochester Town Justice. And right before the break, we talked just a little tease on the gubernatorial debate between Cynthia Nixon and Governor Andrew Cuomo. You know, my biggest takeaway, especially as somebody who lives in upstate, from this debate is that they're not thinking about upstate. That was not really a discussion there. The only thing that I recall coming up from upstate was about Cuomo taking upstate state troopers and putting them in New York City on the streets in New York City. But no discussion about any type of policy whatsoever. For really the state as a whole. But what little they did talk about was really just New York City stuff. And they really left upstate behind in the whole debate. And, during the break, Tony actually brought up, you know, it's basically like they're running for mayor of New York City, not for governor.
Gives you a clue as to what their orientation is.
Exactly.
The late Bill Nojay always used to say that Albany regards upstate New York as a big park.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I would take Tony's statement just a step further and say, yeah, Nixon's running for mayor of New York City and Cuomo's running for president. He is. He you could tell during the debate he was trying to debate Trump and Trump wasn't in the room. You know, he's and anything wrong in New York was Trump's fault, and that's how Cuomo sees it. which is why you see him down in Puerto Rico and flying around with our tax dollars. It's because he's run for president, not for governor. So that's my take.
Was he not aware that Puerto Ricans are not allowed to vote in the presidential election? Just
PR stunt.
Just a point. I mean,
yeah. I can't pretend to understand what goes through his head. So,
it is a mystery. You know, his Joe Biden gaffe do week. His swipe at ICE. I one of the more despicable political comments, right on the heels of America was never that great.
Yeah, he
bashes 10,000 brave ICE agents who put their lives on the line on a daily basis to keep killers, murderers, gangbangers, dope smugglers out of our country.
Yeah, there's really, I think, no limit to what's going to come out of his mouth. You know, you don't know what's going to come next.
Keep it up. That's my advice. Yeah, keep them coming.
I truly believe the more he talks, the better chance we have. You know, it'll be interesting to see the next poll to see what his most recent America was never great statement. What that does to him in the polls.
Just when he keeps saying, just when he says the dumbest thing ever, you think he said the dumbest thing ever? He keeps talking.
He just keeps going. So this would not be an episode of Radio Free New York without talking about some sort of law or regulation that's just awful here in New York. So being that Tony's a guest, he actually had a few that he was discussing during the campaign anyways, and I figured I'd let him talk about some of these awful laws and regulations.
It's my favorite segment of your show, Andrew, I got to be honest. number one fan here. So one of the laws in East Rochester, and there's a lot of them that just you think that maybe they bought the 1960 rules and regulations for a town or village, you know, from Barnes and Noble or wherever they were buying from in 1960, because some of them just don't apply to East Rochester. For example, there is a law in East Rochester, quite an extensive long law for poulterers. Now, for those who don't know what a poulterer is, don't worry. The law defines that as any person housing, keeping, selling, or offering for sale or keeping for sale live fowl in a building. So pigeons, peacocks, turkeys, chickens. And there's quite a bit of licensing, quite a bit of regulation, because, you know, chickens aren't dogs, so you can't just have a chicken like you have a dog or a cat, apparently. But the one that jumped out at me, is that if your male poultry is deemed a nuisance and is over 4 months old, you have to kill it. So
no male poultry
more than 4 months
over
old.
Over 4 months old. Okay,
and I read that as somebody in 1960s East Rochester was not a big fan of waking up to the roosters.
The roosters. That's the first thought that I had. No.
And in all seriousness, there's a lot of silly laws like that in the books. There's a law about circuses and carnivals that designate exactly where they can and cannot go. Can't go too close to a school, except they can go in this park, but that park is right next to a school. You know, things that don't make sense. East Rochester, like a lot of villages, has a curfew for their younger kids that, in practice, isn't enforced. I mean, kids are roaming the streets willy-nilly, but it's on the books, and it's usually if a kid gets in trouble for vandalism or trespassing or some other silly thing. Oh, and by the way, you violated the curfew. Let's pile on the charge.
Yeah.
So it's a pile-on charge, and as justice, I would discourage pile-on charges because it's an obvious money grab. One of the things about the East Rochester Court is that where the revenue that the East Rochester Court, like just about every other town in New York State, is a budget line item for revenue. So for the 2018-2019 fiscal year, that number is about $6,200. I'm sorry, $62,000. That the East Rochester Court is expected to bring in as revenue to the coffers.
So we're talking law enforcement as a profit center to cover budget issues.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the reality of it is that the East Rochester court brought in about 84,000 in the last year I could find.
Wow.
Blowing the budget out of the water, and that's only half of what they're bringing in. The rest of it, of course, going back to the state, and you know, with the $95 required New York State surcharge for your $25 parking ticket.
Yeah, and speaking of New York taking your money, I decided to take a little look at property tax in New York State because I wanted to know what counties were taxed the highest on property tax in New York. And I knew our state taxes were high. I know that we're among the highest in the nation. It's really, really bad. And by really bad, I mean... There's a whole bunch of these all over. You guys can find them on the internet. There's various years these studies have done. They're basically all the same. Some of them differ a little bit towards the end. But this one is a study reveals that 22 out of 25 of the highest taxed counties in the United States are in New York. No surprises there. So who made it to the top five in New York State? Orleans County is number one, taxed at, let's see, where is it? 4.87% of your median income is what that comes out to be. Hold on, let me see where the actual 2.99% of the home value. So based on the median income, that's another close to 5% of your income that you're paying in taxes on top of New York State's 6.4 to 8 and some change percent, and then your federal, which is anywhere from 15 to 35% of your income. So that's crazy to me that people are paying close to 5% of their income in Orleans County towards just property tax as residual every single year. And when the percentage doesn't change, chances are your assessment changes, so you're paying more either way. Also on the top of the list, Niagara County, Monroe County, Allegheny County, and Wayne County.
I was going to say, Wayne's always up there.
Yep, yep. And Wayne County is also pretty close to 5% based on the average income. What I found interesting on the list is actually Monroe County, my home county, based on the value of the property and people's household income, it's actually closer to 5.5%. So even though they're taxed less than Orleans County, it makes up more of a percentage of people's income in Monroe County. Now, this is interesting, but what's more interesting is the counties that have the least amount of property tax in New York State. And those counties, can anybody guess where they are?
I'm thinking Albany County.
Manhattan?
Queens? I know that the property taxes in the city are horrible.
Yeah, so that's the perception, that New York City's taxes are just awful, right?
But they're not, you're going to tell me.
Yeah, they're not. So lowest five counties for property tax in New York State, Richmond County at 0.59%, Bronx County at 0.58%, Queens County 0.54%, New York County 0.49%, and Kings County at 0.46%.
But what are the assessments like?
So their assessments are through the roof, absolutely. But percentage-wise, they're significantly less. So then I wanted to know, well, what's the national average? Because let's just check with our neighbors, right? 1.08% is the national average.
Oh, of course.
So upstate New York is significantly above average for property value in New York State. Our friends downstate have done a better job of lobbying their elected officials, or their elected officials have just done a better job of raising the assessments. You can look at it either way, really, but they have a significantly lower percentage of property value.
Well, it's just a really appealing place for politicians, if you think about it. You have this compact area.
Yep.
You know, how big is Manhattan Island? And you represent those constituents, and that's the political center of gravity for the state. Very easy to campaign there. You don't have to do a lot of driving around. Don't have to worry about dodging deer. used to have to worry about dodging windshield washers, but I guess they've gotten those off the streets. But I mean, it's just it's just obvious they're going to devote all their time and energy to where the population base is.
Yeah, yeah. And could you imagine what New York City...
Doesn't make it right, mind you.
Yeah, yeah. Does not make it right. But could you imagine what New York City would do if their property tax percentage went up to what the people in upstate New York pay?
Good heavens, they might elect Republicans. We can't have that.
Or maybe Libertarians.
That's even worse. Keep them off the ballot.
So we'll be back shortly. Radio Free New York.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
Do you have cataracts? Cataracts cause the vision to become hazy or blurred, making it difficult to read fine print or to drive at night because of headlight glare. A cataract occurs when the internal lens of the eye becomes cloudy with age as a consequence of injury or due to a metabolic disorder like diabetes. At University Eye, we specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of cataracts. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
Avon Gun and Hunting Supply reminds you to protect your Second Amendment rights and exercise your right to vote. Freedom is not free. Be sure to honor and thank our veterans. Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, East Main Street in Avon.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness.
Yeah, that's. I guess you'll let us know when we've achieved greatness, Andy.
Yeah, you know, every time I hear him say this, I have such mixed feelings. It puts a smile on my face because he's kind of like exposed himself to everybody how he really feels about the United States. And that to me is like maybe his first moment of transparency. I'm not sure.
I think they call that an unguarded moment.
Yes, yes. But also knowing that the people in that crowd were hand-picked Cuomo supporters who are mortified by that, that gives me some hope.
Yeah, you can hear the palpable response. They're gasping.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So speaking of Cuomo, I want to give everybody a sharp update. Try to do that every episode. Last week we had our rally in Syracuse. It was awesome. The Shannon Joy came. She was one of our speakers. She did great. It's on the Larry Sharp Facebook page if you want to check it out. Check out Shannon. She was the third speaker. And we're now going to have a rally in Rochester. People love the rally so much. They were so enthused, so excited that they said, yeah, we want more. We don't just want one more in New York City and one more in Albany. Give us more. So September 15th, there is going to be a Larry Sharp rally in Rochester. Location will be disclosed in the very near future once we figure out exactly how many people we need to hold. And that will be up and running. We also did turn in our almost 32,000 petitions to get on the ballot. 15,000 required. We turned in close to 32,000. And yes, there were some objections filed. There haven't been any specific objections filed yet. They have, I think, until Tuesday to do so.
Hmm.
So we'll see what happens. The two people that filed the objections, one is a former member of Scope, surprisingly, who resigned from Scope. He did file. He's a huge follower of the Molinaro campaign.
Oh, okay.
Buddy. It's interesting that the other person who filed was actually an attorney for the GOP. So normally they wouldn't do that. Normally, they just have somebody file in the background. By them doing that, that actually tells us that they're way more scared than we thought they were. They are way more scared. They're taking it very seriously. And to me, that says they know Molinaro is going to lose to Larry Sharp. And so it's that was kind of it was when we found that out, we're like, wow, they actually went ahead and paid an attorney to file, which is extremely, extremely telling. They're very, very nervous. So I believe that's everything for the Sharp update. Wanted to make sure everybody had that, because I think the last show I was on, I didn't get to the very end and missed a couple things. Tony, what do you want to wrap up? We got a few more minutes here on the show. What do you want people who maybe are in East Rochester to know about your campaign when they're trying to make the decision in November?
Well, I'm running in East Rochester because I love my town, my town village. We're unique in New York. There aren't very many coterminous towns and villages in the state. There aren't very many towns and villages where everybody knows your name, where you can walk end to end, where every kid walks to school, where you can walk to the grocery store. In fact, two of them. You can walk to any number of restaurants, find people from all over the world. I've lived there for 10 years and I love living there. I love the close feeling of our village. I'm running because I love my village. I'm running to make it a better village. I'm running because my neighbors, my friends deserve a choice. And I think I'm a good one.
What kind of cases, Tony, would you hear in your justice court?
So the cases heard in justice courts are misdemeanors and violations. So a lot of parking tickets.
No felonies.
So I could hand out sentences up to a year in jail. I could hand out $1,000 fine. And that would be the limit as to what I could hear. The reality of what's actually heard in court is there's a lot of traffic cases. There's a lot of tenant-landlord disputes, a fair number of eviction disputes, and some drug possession cases.
Do you get into like enforcement of contracts, private contracts between people?
Theoretically, yes.
That kind of thing can be brought in justice court?
They can be brought in justice court, and in fact, leases would be a type of contract that is.
There's a jurisdictional limit? Is there like a dollar limit or a threshold? Or
The only limit I've seen is about $1,000.
That's the minimum.
That's the maximum.
That's the maximum. Oh, okay. So,
if you're dealing more than that, you're going to bring it to probably Superior Court anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if I remember earlier in the show, you said one of the big things that you want to bring as town justice to East Rochester is somebody who's listening to the people. You know, somebody who's a public servant, essentially.
Yes, absolutely. And so one of my hallmarks is communication. Both inside the court, because I want to make sure everybody understands what's going on. When somebody appears in my court, it's the biggest thing that's happened to them all day. There's no doubt about that. Anyone who's ever gotten a speeding ticket, it's all day you're on pins and needles. Oh, I got to go to court. I got to go fight my ticket. When in reality, you're probably just going to talk to an ADA who's going to make you an offer, and you're just going to settle it.
Yeah.
Most people who come into the court don't really understand how the court works. What the ramifications of pleading guilty to a petty larceny, which would be something that could be heard in my court, might be. I want to make sure that they do and not necessarily wait until court night for them to do it. So I plan on communicating with the people early and often.
Yeah, awesome.
As far as, you know, you mentioned wanting to make a contribution to your town, that you feel this great affinity for East Rochester, and it is a charming little spot, and it is unique in the metro. What propelled you to try to make a difference by being a town justice? Have you always been interested in the law? Or
it's funny you mention that, Bob. I originally, I'm a graduate of St. Bonaventure University, and I originally looked at St. Bonaventure for pre-law. So I've had the interest for quite a while. I was on mock trial in high school. I was one of those kids I grew up in Connecticut. So we would take the trip to Hartford once a year to compete against other high schools in court. And I always found that fascinating. My career took me in a different direction, but
at some point, you think you might go for your JD?
I might. I'm seriously considering it.
That's what happened to me.
Oh.
I was in my late 20s, and I've been in radio for about 10, 12 years, and I happened to be in a place where there was a land-grant university where I could go to law school for no tuition. That was Eastern Tennessee. So I went to UT Knoxville, and my law degree cost me $2,600.
Wow.
Wow. $2,600.
I'd go to law school for $2,600. Yeah.
That includes books, by the way, which I took and sold the books back to the bookstore. But yeah, that was a rare opportunity because it's tuition free. You just had to pay your student fees.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I would say for $2,600 a year, you might be able to get all the books for two semesters nowadays.
No, $2,600 for 2.5 years.
Well, I know, but I'm saying one year's worth of books today.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that was the other thing. I went summers, too, because I had a finite amount of money that I had solid away. I had to make the mortgage payments. And you can't really work and go to law school. Certainly not the first year.
Yeah, yeah. And that's interesting you bring that up, because more and more schools are pushing their students to not work at all while they pursue their education. And then we have students that, you know, some education tracks it makes perfect sense, especially medical, law school, but some of the other tracks that they're pushing people to not work at all, you know, you get a degree and you're 24, 26 years old, you've never held a job before in your life.
That's craziness.
And
you're out there saying, well, I want to be worth $1 million by the time I'm 30 with my art degree.
Yes, yes, yep. And we have a problem in New York State with that right now, where we've got students that graduate with about $80,000 worth of debt. And there's no jobs available for them. They have to become a barista at Starbucks or somewhere like that, where they're not making enough money to cover that. So what do
they do? That's why they're still
the
living
state.
In dad's basement.
Yeah, no. Dad's basement, or they leave the state.
But Cuomo's free college was supposed to fix all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If only.
Oh, I see some problems with Cuomo's free college.
Yeah, most people are getting rejected from it.
Yeah,
from
I understand. Must be Alan Caliero's got that money too.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting getting into the free college thing, because when you read the fine print, we'll call it, basically nobody qualifies. You essentially have to get all of the normal state funding you would, all of the federal funding, including loans. So you had to max out your loans first before that funding goes into effect. So there's nothing free about it at all.
And now you know why they call it the Excelsior program, because Excelsior is that stuff that you use to pack boxes. It's the worthless stuff that you put around fragile things when you want to ship them.
There you go. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, so that actually, maybe I'll spend some time on that, outlining that. A lot of people don't know. There's income requirements for it. There is, you have to spend, basically you have to max out on everything you qualify for before that money comes in. So I'll bring for the next show the actual points and outline and show people how this education plan works in New York, and then I'll tell you about what I think the education plan should look like in New York, because there are some major, major differences, and one of our biggest differences is that we want to support the trades. We have a shortage of tradespeople here in New York State, and I hear it all over, everywhere we go, but in high school especially, many counselors will... and maybe it's not so much the counselors, but it's their job to basically push kids into higher education, push them into college. And there's not really anybody dedicated to encouraging kids to get into the trades. And we're seeing it.
Yeah, Mike Rowe is about the only one I know of, the high-profile person who's doing that.
Yeah.
And boy, there's some real opportunities out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I actually spoke with a lady about this at the Syracuse Fair I was at this week. And we were talking about how really the only trades opportunities, unless there's a union that supplies something near you, is BOCES. And kids get made fun of for going to BOCES. They're labeled the dumb kid, so they don't want to be involved. We're literally scaring kids away from the trades and encouraging them to follow a track that is sometimes successful, but right now, not very often, incurs a lot of debt and has low job opportunities. So...
Well, that's the end of our program. Thanks so much for joining us. Give them some contact information there, Andrew.
Yep. So if you want to find out about the Sharp campaign, Facebook.com, search Larry Sharp. for New York, Andrew Hollister for a new New York. You can find us on LarrySharp.com. That's Sharp with an E. The E stands for electable. Tony, how do we find out about your campaign?
I am on Facebook at Tony D'Orazio, Libertarian for Town Justice, Tony4NY.org, and Tony4NY on Twitter.
All right.